You've taken the quiz and you've read the books, so you know your attachment style. But last night, your partner said, "We need to talk," and your whole body went off like a car alarm. That anxiety or panic is an insecure attachment style doing its thing. So the real question is, can you actually change it? And the real answer is yes, you can. It's called earned secure attachment. It's real, and researchers have been studying it for decades. You're not stuck with the wiring you got as a kid. So today, you'll learn what earned secure attachment really is, what it definitely isn't, the one marker that tells you whether it's working, and of course, the tools to start building it this week. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to season 9 of the podcast. Oh my God, A Girl with a Dream in July of 2018 set out to do a podcast. Had never even listened to a podcast before. Didn't know what they were. I'm old. I'm an old lady. Didn't know. Anyway, millions of downloads later, 190 plus countries. I don't even know what to say. Thank you for being here with me. I'm very honored and excited to be starting season 9, and I have a great lineup. You know, all my seasons are a year. You know, I do a whole year. I take a few weeks off, but that's it. So, and my new book is coming out, and I just recorded the audio version for 2 full days. So my voice, I have some mint tea with me, so we will get through this together. I have some mint tea with some honey. And it's called Stop Reacting, Start Connecting, No Couples Therapy Required. And it's not just for couples, but it is geared for romantic relationships. But if you're somebody in any of your relationships who you act, not react, you know, you react, not act, then this book is going to be for you. I'm really excited. I can't wait to get it to you. And we'll have a pre-sale link probably, by the next time I record. So we'll get right to it. So what is earned secure attachment? What is it? Earned secure attachment means you didn't have secure attachment growing up, right? Because you have to earn it. And you built it in adulthood anyway. And the term comes from Judith Pearson and her colleagues way back in 1994. And I will tell you this, researchers have been working on it ever since. So, and there was a really huge review, which made me, which I finally got to, I know, a big published review in 2024, which gathered up like 30 years of studies on this subject. And I finally went through that whole thing. So let's just say we have a lot of great information about this topic, which of course I'm going to use as the starting point for today's teach, right? So I want to give you a quick definition first. So we're using the same words. And again, I gave you a little bit of one, but I want to get more nitty gritty. Your attachment style is the relational template for your nervous system. And it was built, of course, in your earliest relationships, back before you had language or memory or anything to argue with it. And it answers 3 questions on your behalf constantly, daily, every minute. Those questions are, is it safe to need someone? Will they stay when things get hard? And am I too much? So secure attachment, of course, means closeness. It mostly feels safe to you. And insecure means it mostly doesn't feel safe to you. Closeness doesn't mostly feel safe to you. And And if you're in an insecure attachment style, there's one of a few different flavors, of course, that are based around anxious and avoidant attachment. I know I'm repeating some things. I know I've said a lot of this before. I'm going to link to all the past episodes I've done on attachment, so not to worry, but you can go to the blog. But attachment styles are a topic it's just important, which is why I've gone deep so many times before. And again, if you want that full map on the different styles, you can read up about, you know, dealing with an anxious partner or an avoidant one, if you're anxious or not, whatever, all that's there. So for now, I'm going to assume you know the basics of attachment, which means we can get to today's specific topic, which is earned security. Okay, also known as AKA earned secure attachment, same thing. And it gets measured with something called the Adult Attachment Interview, which a woman named Mary Main and her colleagues developed way back in like the 80s, in the early 80s. I'll have the date somewhere. And it's a long interview about your childhood. It gets scored by like trained coders, right? It's no joke. But here's what's important. Those coders aren't scoring what happened to you. They're scoring how you tell it. That instrument doesn't care about your childhood. It cares about your sentences. It cares about what you're saying about your childhood. It cares about the words you use to describe what happened to you. And Dr. Dan Siegel, I've talked about many times on the podcast, his work on the developing mind. He has a famous book called that. It's really shaped most of what we understand about attachment and the brain, how he said it was that how you make sense of your life is more important than what happened to you. I'm going to say that again. How you make sense of your life is more important than what actually happened to you, because researchers, study that. And there's a very specific word. We call that, I'm a researcher, I'm not, well, I kind of am, but you know what I mean, not a professional one. Researchers call that quality coherence. That's what that is. It's called coherence. It's a very specific word. And it doesn't mean having a pretty story. It's not everything happens for a reason, you know, needle pointed on a throw pillow somewhere. It's not that. It means you can say something that was real and it mattered. Here's how it shaped me, and here's where I get to write something different. That's what it is. You can hold like the painful parts of your history without drowning in them, and you can hold the good parts without pretending the painful parts weren't there. You know, you can hold, it's a coherent story. And a coherent story, it's not, what they say kind of in the literature is that it's not a healed one, it's a held one, okay? I know, isn't that cute language? Or maybe I made that up, who knows? But if I didn't make it up, I'll link to it. So three things earned secure attachment is not. Let me say what it's not, because I want to be clear. I want to get these out of the way first, because every single one of these might make you quit after you've been doing this work for a few weeks. But that's right around the time you'll likely start to see your efforts pay off. And I don't want you to quit, okay? So that's why I'm telling you this stuff. So the first thing I want to say is that earned security is not a personality transplant, okay? There's a lot of great studies, actually, that point to this. There was a study a team of researchers looked at parents who had earn their security, and they compared them to parents who'd had it since childhood. Okay, so they had these two groups. And the earned group reported more depressive symptoms and more distress inside, but their parenting looked just as warm and just as steady as the group who got the good stuff from childhood. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And there was another study where researchers looked at moms experiencing high stress days. And on the hard days, the earned secure mothers parented just as well as the moms who had, you know, secure childhoods and great childhoods and continually secure and all the things, right? I know. there wasn't anything noticeable. And on the easy days, let me say this. On the easy days, so the days when things were easy, there was no difference between any of the moms. And that really tells you how much stress is at the center of acting out in unhealthy ways, right? So, but I want to say, so the earned secure person is very often the one carrying more weather on the inside, you know, more stuff on the inside, but still showing up beautifully on the outside, but not because they're faking it, but because that's what earned really means. You don't get handed a whole new personality. You just get like a new set of moves. I hope that all made sense to you. So, because I've had people who were doing this work and they're like, I'm still thinking about the old thing, or, you know, I don't feel like I'm so healed, or I don't know the words they use. It's like they thought they were just going to become a different person. It's like, no, we're not erasing your past. This isn't that. We're putting it, again, you're getting coherence. You're talking about it differently. You're remembering it now differently. You're filing it away in a different file than it used to be. So your nervous system is reacting differently to it, and how you're presenting. So again, like, a mom who grew up with a crappy childhood but got earned security, you know, and worked, did the work, and someone who just grew up in that mom who grew up in a fabulous home, they're parenting the same. It's coming out the same, even though the insides are very different. Okay? I'm hoping that makes sense to you. All right. The second thing, it's not, earned security is not, is a calm nervous system. Like some, that's the other thing people will come to me and they'll say, like, oh, they don't feel like the Buddha yet. And it's like, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking you'll know you've made it when your partner sighs at the kitchen, you know, table, and you feel nothing. You're Teflon for everything. And so you need to stop that. I say with love, you need to stop that. If the bar for secure attachment was never getting activated in the first place, then the only securely attached people on this whole planet would be dead people, would be corpses. That, yeah. And I think I've seen some reactive ghosts, so I'm not even sure if I believe that. But you know what I'm saying? Your threat detection system is doing exactly what it evolved to do. And the goal was never to shut it off completely. Securely attached people get triggered. They get flooded sometimes. And they sometimes snap at the person they love the most, right? Over putting the dishes in the dishwasher wrong or whatever. So don't go to this idea that it's never going to happen. That's not what we're looking for. Again, that, you know, a flat line is like dead people. We're not looking for that. And then the third thing is, it's not something I can hand you or a therapist can hand you. And therapy helps enormously. And I'd be a real hypocrite to say otherwise, given how I've spent the last 40 years. But nobody has ever gotten earned security delivered to them the way you get like a diagnosis or a prescription. Because everything the research points to about how people actually get there comes down to reflection, their relationships, repetition. So it means you got to participate. You can't outsource this one. This isn't about an aha moment and you're done, or some sort of insight and you're done. And you definitely can't get there by understanding it really, really well. That's not it. I see this in my office all the time. The most insightful person in the room often, a lot of times is changing the slowest, because insight feels so much like progress that it's easy to mistake one for the other. So you got to do the work. I just want to say that having all the ideas is lovely, but you got to do the work. And that's where I really shifted how I do therapy to begin with, how I work with people. I give homework, I do follow-up. Because you have to practice this stuff at home. Just sitting in an office with me, and I have people that want to go deeper. Well, why do I do that? Let me talk about more why. It's like, yeah, to a point it helps, but at some point you just have to do the work no matter the why. And maybe you'll figure out more about the why as you go and do the work. So that could happen too. All right. How do you know it's working? Okay. How do you know it's working? So everything I just said raises an obvious problem, which is that if security isn't a feeling and it isn't calm and it isn't your personality, then how on earth do you know whether you're getting anywhere, okay? So, and here's the deal. Earned security isn't measured by whether you go off. Because you're gonna, right? Like I said, you're gonna lose your you-know-what sometimes, right? It's measured by how fast you come back. It's all about your speed of return. The earned security, in a nutshell, is about your speed of return. It really is. And also how strongly you feel things. But, and there's a researcher, Ed Tronick. His research on mothers and their babies. It's always us moms. Why do we always get blamed? Okay, but anyway. I actually find his research the most reassuring findings in all of developmental psychology. I think I'm going to just say that. I mean it. So Tronick, again, and his colleagues, it's, you know, it's always a group of people. It's never like one person doing research, but they filmed mothers with their babies. And what they found is that these pairs were out of sync with each other most of the time. Out of sync most of the time. So it was something like 2/3 of the interactions they were having out of sync. And I'll tell you what do I mean by that? What does it actually look like? It's nothing dramatic being out of sync. You know, the baby looks up wanting to play and the mother is looking at something across the room, right? The baby coos and the mother answers maybe like a beat too late. The mother leans in for a big smile and the baby maybe turns away. Maybe that was too much right now. Maybe that was too much input. You know, miss, miss, miss all day long, misses. But the misses were in the pairs who were considered the healthiest ones by all other metrics. Because what made those pairs secure wasn't that they were always in sync, always perfect, is that they kept coming back. Miss, notice, come back. Miss, notice, come back. Hundreds of times a day. The security gets built in the coming back, not in the getting it right. That's what I want to say. The security got built in the coming back, not in the getting it right. And I know because I'm a parent. I know I got a lot of parents out there listening. You're never going to get it perfect all the time, and it's really okay that you don't. You know, that's also how babies and children learn resourcefulness and learn resilience and learn and get their own self-esteem. There's a lot of good things in all this, but it is about coming back. Like, you know, right? Hey, I missed that thing. Ooh, where are you now? You know, right? You come back over and over. So it means that the scoreboard maybe that you've been using this whole time is probably wrong. You know, a lot of times, especially as parents, but in our romantic relationships, in any of our relationships, we keep score on the ruptures. You know, how many times did I spiral? How many times did I snap? How many times did I go cold or sent that text I wish I could take back? And that's really the wrong column to be, you know, tracking. Start keeping score on the return. How fast, you know, I did the thing, but how fast did I come back? I had a client I worked with, I guess it was last year actually at this point. And I remember her so well because she came in convinced she was hopeless because she and her husband still fought all the time. And she had been in therapy. They had done couples, they had done all this stuff. What I did, and she just said, oh, we still fight, da, da, da. And I asked her what I ask a lot because I know this research. I said, well, how long do the fights last, right? How long do the fights last now? And she told me, you know, and she said, you know, like, oh, gosh, maybe an hour. But then one of us comes and finds the other one, right? It's pretty much what she said. And I was like, and I asked, so I said, well, what did it used to be before all the therapy, you know, before all this stuff you did? And she said, she took a minute. She was really reflective, which I appreciated. And she said, oh, it was days. Sometimes we would go days. And the way they did it was total silence, like frosty, frosty in the house, silence for days. And then they'd both just pretend the whole thing never happened. She said one of them, they would just be like, pass the butter and it was over. She thought she was failing because the fights hadn't stopped is really what it adds up to. So she had gone from, but I said to her, like, you went from 72 hours, let's say, or more to like 60 minutes. And the sad part to me was she hadn't even noticed because she was watching the wrong number the entire time. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to have less fights overall. Of course you do. And actually, when we started talking, there really were less. There were way less than they used to have, which is also part of why they were coming back quicker because they didn't feel so exhausted by the arguments. So again, so go find your number. How long does it take you right now from the rupture to like a real return? Again, I don't mean a fake return where the two of you are technically speaking again, but you know, it's really frosty, right, in the living room. I mean the kind of the real number. And whatever that number is, that's your baseline, and that's the number that you're looking to move. That's it, okay? That's it. So make sure you're looking in the right column. And because I'm not going to tell you to go you know me, I love you. I'm not going to tell you to go like track something and then leave out how to figure out how. I purposely made the free download for today. I'm calling it your repair speed baseline. It's to do just this. It's like a single page and where you can log kind of where you're starting from and watch that number hopefully come down over the next month. And it walks you through too, like what actually counts as a real return. So you're not fooling yourself, you know, with what the return is. So you can go grab that. And it's really the number one thing I want you watching, which is why I did the free download about it. And I always want to tell the new people, if you're new watching me, hello, welcome. Anytime I say the research or the free download, or I'll talk about the Therapy to Go bundle later, everything you can download, if you go to my website, abbymetcalf.com, and go to this episode, I write a full blog, and I have for 8 years. For every single episode of the podcast. It's not a transcript, it's a blog. And in there, you can find all of the resources I talk about. Any resource I mention, anything that's free or paid or anything, everything's there. Everything's there. And if you're watching on YouTube, hello, like and subscribe, you can find it below the video. And I always want to be very transparent that if you download anything from me that's free, you will be put on my Love Bites list, which is twice a month. I don't sell anything. I don't sell it. I know it's hard to believe that someone is just trying to help you, but I swear to gosh, that's what I do with this list. You're on a list where I send out twice a month. I just send out a little love letter. It's a little bite of love. It's something, it's a story or a research thing or something to help you think different, just to help you with your focus that week. That's it. Comes out on, I think, the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. If you don't like it, unsubscribe. Again, there's no ulterior motive here. I promise. I know it's hard to believe. I'm just trying to help. And I'm trying to help you stay in a good headspace more often. And, you know, when you're reading things that are uplifting and you're, you know, doing the work, it helps, right? I don't know. It helps me. I don't know what to say. Anyway, there you go. But you can just unsubscribe. Don't worry. There's tens of thousands of people on that list. I'm not going to notice if you hit unsubscribe. So don't worry. All right. So now let's talk about how to get there. How do you get there? This is the three routes. Is it route or route? Or is that different? Anyway, maybe route. I think it's the three routes that actually build earned security. Because a route is for a tree, right? I don't know. Okay, let me have a sip of tea. Then we'll get to it. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help. Like, weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Mm. Mint tea with honey, I just want to say. It's a vibe. Okay. It's really helping my throat. I don't think I'm scratchy at all. So here are the three routes that actually build earned security. All right. And the research, I have to say, keeps landing on these same three roads, okay? And most people who get there, I think, are using some combination of all three. And you can start any one of them today. Don't try to do all three today, but try any one of them today. Route one is to make sense of the story. This is the coherence piece I was talking about. And it's what that interview is really measuring that I mentioned, right? How they assess this stuff. It means, what it means is being able to tell your own history in a way that holds together, ugly parts included, without either minimizing the whole thing, you know, it was fine, everybody's parents were like that back then, some BS like that, or getting completely swallowed by it. You know, again, both of those are incoherence when that happens. So, because one of them is a story with the feeling cut out of it, and the other one is a feeling with no story around it, right? And what you're after is the version where the events and the emotions are finally in the same room together. And if this is a big issue for you, I have worksheets to do this exact work in this week's Therapy to Go bundle, and I'll talk about that at the end. So I do want to say that. If you're sitting there like, I need this, then I got you. But I got you, boo. But just wait a minute. Route two, or route, depending on, I guess, where you're calling from, route two is you get into some kind of corrective relationship. Your template for all this didn't get built by insight, right? And it isn't going to get rebuilt by insight either. So, because it got built by experience. And when researchers go looking for what actually separates the earned secure adults from everybody else, one of the biggest things that they find over and over was whether that person had an alternative support figure somewhere along the line. Again, we're not just talking about romance. We're talking about a grandmother or a teacher or a coach or a therapist or a best friend. Somebody whose steadiness handed their nervous system some like contradictory evidence to like everything's unsafe, right? And you know, if you look at Stephen Porges, who I talk about all the time, right, and his polyvagal theory, that polyvagal theory really explains the mechanism underneath all that, which is that your nervous system is constantly reading other nervous systems for cues of safety. That's what you do all the time. I'm talking about subconscious, unconscious, but it's below the level of anything you'd call a thought. And it updates based on what it finds, which I need you to know is very good news, because it means somebody else's steadiness isn't wasted on you. It is data. You know, I did that whole episode on co-regulation last season. You know, again, you might want to check that out. And this is also why the people who had very few positive childhood experiences or a whole pile of adverse ones can still get there. You can. And I did an episode also on positive childhood experiences and how they outweigh adverse ones, the ACEs. So again, you can go, I'll link to that episode. But your template, this template that you've been developing since you were a baby, really, it updates on evidence. And evidence doesn't have any expiration date. That's what's so beautiful about it. So, you know, I've talked about my sort of female soulmate, my bestie, I call her my wife, you know, Rhonda. Like, I've talked about her on the podcast before. I have other fabulous friends. I really do. Obviously, Gary and my kids. Like, there's a lot of people in my life where I get that steadiness when I don't have it. Because here I am teaching all this stuff. If you think I'm living some perfect life where I never get triggered, I don't know what to tell you. But I can say, and I've had great therapists and all the things, but I can say that my rate of return is pretty quick. And it's not as deep and horrible as it used to be, of course. And I have much less of them, right? So again, that's the beauty on the other side. In the 12-step program, we say, don't leave before you're halfway through. Don't leave before the miracle. And that's how this feels to me. I've had too many people doing the work and, you know, again, they're like, oh, I'm still having problems or I'm like, no, it's so much better. I reflect back to my clients, and anybody listening who's a client knows this, a lot. Like, oh, remember you used to do this and now it's here. Oh, remember it was like that. Look how far you've come. And I know they think I am blowing sunshine up their ass. I know it. And I have to always tell them, like, I will never lie to you. I'm not making stuff up to make you feel good. I am trying to remind you of the progress that I can see very clearly. And it's easy to focus on the negative. So I'm not trying to, you know, just be your hype man or woman. I am trying to give you a reality check. For again, and make sure you're looking at the right column, right? That's the thing. So, okay, and then route three, the third way you get there is you practice on purpose. There's some researchers, Richard Davidson and Bruce McEwen. They have shown through their research that the social and emotional experiences you repeat actually change, get this, the structure of your brain. There's that neuroplasticity again. And that this doesn't just stop happening when you turn 12 or 30 or 60, right? The neuroplasticity keeps happening. I'm going to keep beating it because it's the truth. Every single time you catch the old pattern firing and you choose the return instead, you're laying down track. You're not erasing the old road. You're building an alternate route that eventually gets faster than the old one. I always compare it to, and I talk about it in my new book, a big field, right? With like, you know, it's all overgrown and you're looking for a path through that field. And when you make that path, if there's a couple paths and only one gets used, right? The old one gets overgrown. That's what happens in your brain. Now, when you're first making that path, it takes some work, doesn't it? You got to get your machete out. You got to really work it, right? But it's worth it. And I am going to get a little woo on you here because, you know, I love that because I can't pretend I'm only science, right? There's a part of you that already knows how to do this. You can call that your inner being, your higher self, your, you know, that little quiet voice that whispers, however you want to, your inner child. I don't, go find them. Go find that and say you're sorry while that loud, busy voice, you know, is trying to talk you out of it. You know, you already know that the practice is just choosing that sort of quieter voice in you, or that it's even to me, it's a stronger voice. When you choose that enough, that voice starts to get louder. That becomes the path through the field, right? Something I said a while ago was that your anxiety asks a lot of questions and has a lot of, you know, urgency. And your inner being or your higher self, whatever you want to call it, knows, makes statements. So it changes from like, you know, your anxiety is like, well, what's going to happen? And what if I do this? And I don't know if they meant that. Well, did you really mean that, Abby, when you said that? And well, what about next week? And what if I do this, then what? And oh, I said that thing. And then right? There's a lot of worry, anxiety. That's how your anxious voice talks to you. Your inner being makes statements. It says things like, ugh, this, I need to leave this job. This person's not right for me. Oh my gosh, this woman is going to be my friend the rest of my life. There's something right here. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, oh, I do it when I try on clothes. I know, right? Or my shoes. You know, I love my shoes. I'm not even joking. I'll put something on. I'm like, yes. Like, I know right away. It just knows. It makes statements. And I know some of you are thinking, no, my anxiety makes statements, Abby, but you can hear the quality of the voice and how urgent it is or how Your inner knowing is never urgent because the urgency comes from trauma. So your inner voice is very clear but not urgent, and there's a big difference. So you can tell from the tone of how what's happening, you know, like, and it's also not, it doesn't say things like, oh, this person hates me. It says things like, wow, I do not have a good connection with this person. I'm feeling a lot of anger coming from them. Interesting. That's what it says. It says things like that. See the difference? Okay. So let's talk about 5 tools to start building earned security this week. Because you know me, I want to give you the answers right now. I don't want you to have to wait. Tool number 1, time your repair. I mean this literally. The next time you have a rupture, note like when it started and then note when you genuinely come back. And write that number down. Do it for a month, a week, however long you can do it. You're not, again, trying to have fewer ruptures necessarily, at least not right now. You're trying to watch the recovery time come down. And it'll start coming down long before the amount of ruptures do. That's why I want you to notice it. And it's really motivating. It's probably the most motivating thing you can track because it's the number that moves first. So it's something I have clients do often. It's really great. Tool number 2 is to tell the whole story out loud, all the way through one time. And I don't mean the highlight reel, you know, you've already told 40 times, which is usually, I don't know, it becomes like a performance almost that you've rehearsed until it stopped being able to hurt you. I have some people tell me some horrible things like a court reporter, like somebody reporting, like reading from a script. It's terrible. So I mean the whole thing in order with the feelings still attached to it, to one person who can hold it. Again, a therapist, maybe that's your partner, maybe it's not. The friend who doesn't flinch, you know, when you get to the bad part, that one person. And if there's nobody available to you yet, I had a client once, because she did tell me, but she still wasn't there. I had her do it in a voice memo. It works. Coherence, remember, gets built by narrating, and you can't narrate silently. So the story isn't going to become coherent in your head just that way. It becomes coherent in your mouth. It has to come out. All right. Tool number 3 is to borrow somebody else's nervous system on purpose, though, right? You got to stop treating this like some sort of solo assignment, you know, that you're climbing the mountain alone. Once a week, put yourself in the actual physical presence of the steadiest person you know. And unless it's your therapist, don't turn it into a therapy session while you're there, okay? Take a walk with them. Fold laundry. Sit in the same room and you don't have to say anything. Your nervous system is going to download whether or not the two of you, it's going to download it like, again, like, I mean download, like come down, calm down, whether or not you're discussing like your mom or not, you know what I mean, or the issue or not. So if you're sitting there realizing that you don't have that person in your life yet, then I would say finding them is your work this year, and it's worth more than any book you're going to read, including mine. Well, maybe not including mine. Okay. You know, but I'm serious. You should think of your life as like finding that person. And again, you can start with therapy. That's a great place. Or, you know, just starting to like go to mosque or church or temple. You know, you could start something like that if you have any religious affiliation. If you don't, you know, I'm lucky because the 12-step rooms, but I'm lucky. I'm such a lucky heroin addict. Anyway, you know what I mean. Or you can join a hiking group if you like to hike, or a ceramics class if you like that. Like, start doing things and joining group things where you might meet people who are like-minded. You know, you want to start with something like that. All right. Tool number 4 is catch the prediction before you act on it. Is that how I want to say that? Yes, I do. I want to say it that way. Catch the prediction before you act on it. So you're rarely going to, as you know, get through an entire episode with me without me mentioning what? What? Yes, you said it. Mindfulness. That's right. It's because this tool is mindfulness, and it's the reason, it always is the reason any other tool works at all, right? Your attachment system is a prediction engine. So when your partner goes quiet at dinner, your brain doesn't report back that they are quiet. It reports that they're leaving, or that they found someone else, or that they're, I don't even know what, they have a tumor and didn't tell you, right? Jews, you know, we're always like, it's a tumor. I don't know. Anyway, so mindfulness is the half second where you, or the hundredth second, whatever, millisecond, where you notice that the prediction is only a prediction, and that's really the whole skill. It's the entire difference between reacting and choosing. So, and if you don't have a practice of mindfulness yet, I have a free mindfulness starter kit. I'll link to it. It's right on the website. It's under the resources page. Just go get it already, my Lord. But you have to be practicing it. It's not enough. You know, that's why I have a starter kit, but please practice. Tool number five is make them miss the practice, right? And I would say this one's non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, listen up. When you blow it, and you are absolutely going to blow it, your only job is the next sentence. And the next sentence has to be a kind one. There are researchers, Juliana Breens and Serena Chen. They, and I'll link to it, but they ran a series of studies on this. And they found the exact opposite of what I think everybody assumes. I think we all think that being hard on ourselves is what makes us try harder. And it turns out that's backwards from the research, from the evidence. The people who met in their research, the people who met their own failures with self-compassion were more likely to work at doing better next time. They were not less likely to work harder. They were more likely. Self-criticism makes you quit, and self-compassion makes you keep moving. So the sentence sounds something like, of course I missed. That was a brutal day. This is brand new to me, and I'm still here trying. And then go repair. You know, then you got to go say sorry or whatever, right? The wiring never gets built on the days you nail it. I'll tell you that right now. The wiring gets built on the days you miss and return and go again. That's how it all works. Okay. So, and I think that's everything I want to say today. Let me tell you about the Therapy to Go bundle. Let me remind you of the free download for today is your Repair Speed Baseline. Okay. You can get that for free again, below the video or wherever you know, or go to the website. But if you think like, oh my gosh, this is a huge problem for me. Everything Abby is saying is something I want to work on. I sell something I call Therapy to Go bundles. I really like these. and they're $10. And what I like is you can do it with your therapist. You can do it on your own. You can do it. It's Therapy to Go. And so you get the free download with it, but you might want to try the free download first and then decide if you think this is going to be worth it for you, that's fine. But if you just know, like, I'm just getting this, Abby, the free download's already in there, so you don't have to download it twice. And what you'll get is, so that Repair Speed Baseline, but you get a lot in this Therapy to Go bundle. I put a lot in here because I think this was such a big, I usually have about 5 resources in my Therapy to Go bundle plus the free download. But this, I had more. I know. I love it. So you get what earned security actually looks like. It's a check on where you are right now. You get your coherence draft worksheet. Okay. I know. You get your co-regulation map, who in your life is actually steady. Get to figure that out. You get another one called Catch the Prediction. It's that half second, you know, that I said between what happened and what you decided it meant. You also get a return script, what to actually say when you go back, and then the story you tell about coming back. And this is all journaling prompts. So all of that for $10. I know, because I love you and I'm here and I'm trying to help. All right, that is it. Thank you so much. Welcome back to season 9. I'm really excited for this season. As always, if you have fabulous ideas for what you'd like to see covered on a future episode, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com, or you can go to the website and there's a Let's Connect page. You can email me through that. And if you have, you know, and again, don't send me a whole story though. I can't, you know, there's a lot of you. There's hundreds and thousands of you. Don't send me a whole story. I won't read it because I can't. I just don't have the time. But if you just have, you know, a few sentences about what the issue is, I do read those. And I often use them in the podcast. So I hope you do that. And if you just want to say hi and tell me that the podcast helped, I love it. Leave a review for the podcast is a great way to help me. There you go. All right. Oh, I love you so much. It's so good to be back. I'm really excited for season 9 and all the things we're going to learn together. All right. Have a wonderful week. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymetcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.